This is KYUK, public radio for the Yukon-Kuskokwim Delta. I'm Samantha Watson. President Trump's pick for Surgeon General, wellness influencer Casey Means, told U.S. senators yesterday that anti-vaccine rhetoric was never part of her message. Senator Lisa Murkowski, though, suggested she had cast doubt on science-based vaccine schedules. And she said Means should talk up the success of immunization campaigns.
My state of Alaska has had a very long history with this, including early childhood immunization campaigns that were targeted specifically to Alaska Native communities.
At her confirmation hearing before the Senate Health Committee, Means repeatedly denied that she was against vaccination and said it was a matter for patients to discuss with their doctors. Murkowski took issue with this statement from Means on the Tucker Carlson show in 2024.
And the Hep B vaccine is for hepatitis B, which is a sexually transmitted disease, an IV drug user disease, of course, which babies are not going to be exposed to. And yet every single baby in America is getting the intervention.
Murkowski told her that intervention has saved lives and prevented chronic disease, particularly in Western Alaska, where hepatitis B was endemic.
We have been able to turn the corner on this. We're no longer seeing children with liver cancer, with this liver disease. And it is because the hepatitis B vaccine has been made available to them at birth.
At his confirmation hearing last year, Health Secretary Robert Kennedy Jr. assured senators he supported vaccines. But last month, his agency removed 6 immunizations from the universal recommendations for children, including the hepatitis B vaccine. No date has been set for Means' Senate confirmation vote. The Supreme Court ruled last week that President Trump exceeded his authority when he imposed sweeping tariffs on nearly every country last April. Alaska Public Media's Ava White spoke with a trio of local entrepreneurs at the time who said the uncertainty they were facing was as damaging as the tariffs themselves. She revisited the three after the ruling, and while the business owners say it's a relief, they aren't celebrating yet.
The Supreme Court ruling came as a surprise to Liz Eldridge, owner of the Spice and Tea Exchange.
I was pleasantly shocked.
Her store in South Anchorage sells teas, sugars, and spices that are imported from dozens of countries. When Trump's so-called Liberation Day tariffs were announced last spring, Eldridge was suddenly faced with paying tariffs on almost everything she sells in her store. She was forced to stock up on items and change vendors. It was a complicated and expensive process that local business owners say took a huge toll on their companies. Now that the Supreme Court ruled those tariffs are illegal, they are expressing some relief, but skeptical they'll ever see a refund for the tens of thousands of dollars they've paid for tariffs. Eldridge says she's not counting on one, and she's not planning to pursue litigation either.
We'd be like an ant on an anthill. Like, there's millions of us, and we'd just be lost in the shuffle. I feel like I would be wasting my time for money I probably wouldn't get back.
Paxson Wolber feels similarly. He owns Ehrman Skate, an Anchorage company that makes the only Nordic skate on the market manufactured in the United States. Ehrman partners with manufacturers in South Central for the skate's ceramic coating and sharpening, but the company also imports safety gear from Scandinavian countries, which Wolber says has been the biggest tariff impact for his business.
I have no reason to actually think that I'm going to get it back right now. Or on what timeline? I mean, is Ehrman Skate, a little tiny Nordic skate making company in Alaska, going to be first in line to receive refunds on their unconstitutional tariff charges?
There's not a clear path to obtaining tariff refunds, according to the U.S. Chamber of Commerce, even for large companies. Wolber declined to say how much the company has spent on tariffs in the last year, but says it's, quote, a significant five-figure number that forced the company to raise prices by about 15%. If the company gets a refund, Wolber says he would reinvest the money into his business by stocking up on products and upgrading machinery. He has wondered if getting that money back would allow him to refund customers or lower prices, but he says he can't even think that far ahead.
The amount of uncertainty in the system and the fact that I just have no idea if I'm even going to ever see a refund makes it really, really difficult to even think about doing that kind of thing.
Uncertainty is a feeling Eric Parsons has gotten used to over the last year. Parsons owns Revelate Designs, an Alaska-based bikepacking gear company. The company moved its manufacturing out of China last spring because of trade conditions. The company, Parsons says, has paid about $35,000 in reciprocal tariffs since they were implemented about a year ago. He says the turmoil has put the company in a conservative spending mindset and has taken an extreme psychological toll.
I think above all, it feels like an assault on small business and innovation.
He signed a letter in support of issuing businesses refunds, but Parsons says Revelate isn't in the financial position to hire an attorney to stand up to the federal government, and other small businesses are in the same boat. Even if Parsons were to get his tens of thousands of dollars spent on tariffs back, he says that doesn't put an end to the uncertainty.
Maybe we'll get refunds, but the president still wants to use tariffs as a controlling way for his foreign policy. So he's going to do that one way or the other. And so there's still going to be chaos and unpredictability.
Now, Trump implemented a new 10% global tariff, and the administration is trying to push it to 15%. Businesses say that just keeps them guessing and makes it harder to plan for the future. In Anchorage, I'm Ava White.
To address the lack of cultural activities and declining student mental health at Mount Edgecombe High School, Sitka-based volunteers worked together to develop a project connecting students with cultural arts education, one stitch at a time. This past week, they brought their first visiting artist all the way from Bethel for a baby boot-making workshop. KCAW's Ryan Cotter sat in on one of their sessions and has this report.
There are few people who can say their lives have been heavily intertwined with the history of Mount Edgecombe High School like Sitkin C.J. Johnson Yellowhawk. She graduated in 2004 and is a fourth-generation Mount Edgecombe student in her family, with her grandparents first meeting as members of the school's first-ever class. Today, she is a heavily involved alumni. When she read the news back in December about the mental health challenges many students have been facing, it sounded all too familiar.
My family and communities have gone through basically childhood trauma, generational trauma. And so I related to what was going on because I realized that we had some people here who needed community. And a lot of the times when something goes wrong in our communities, we go for our grandmothers and our aunties. And that's what we kind of saw here. We were like, oh, maybe they need some auntie support over there, some grandma support over there.
So Johnson Yellowhawk and her gaggle of aunties and grandmother figures, many of whom are fellow Mount Edgecombe alumni, banded together to launch the Mount Edgecombe High School Student Arts Project. The project started back in January and aims to connect students with classes taught by artists from their home regions across Alaska, as well as helping raise money for activities and community items the students desire. That led her to Golga Gooky Oscar, a well-renowned artist who is self-taught in skin sewing and beading and hails from the village Kasigluk in the Yukon-Kuskokwim Delta. He responded the next day asking, "When do you want me there?"
For me, it's special because I'm sharing that knowledge to them. I'm giving them this privilege to pass the knowledge to their future generations. I think that's an important factor in today's generation to start off with, because spirituality is so strong in many other indigenous communities. Whatever story is being shared has a spiritual significance behind it, which makes it more intriguing.
Flash forward to February 19th, and Oscar is seated on one of two blue felt rolling chairs in Mount Edgecombe's culture room. New racks of fabric line up the walls beside them, alongside other donated art supplies to keep students' minds and hands busy. For the past 3 days, he has worked with students on how to sew baby boots, which Oscar says is a standard project for beginning skin sewers. While the students are hard at work assembling their boots, Oscar is working on a different project, sewing the final details onto dance headdresses for Mount Edgecombe's Yupik dance team, an extra gift he is leaving behind for the students. This creates an opportunity for students and staff alike to learn some Yupik vocabulary.
What's headdress in Yupik?
Yeah, what is the word for it?
Nasqun.
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 Nasqun or Nasqua?
Nasqun.
Nasqun.
One of his students, upperclassman Jubilee Lewis, hails from Kwagilingok, but grew up mainly in Anchorage. She says she's found it comforting to hear Yupik again, as well as being able to do cultural activities she hasn't had access to.
I really enjoy it. It's really nice to be, like, because I grew up listening. My family is fluent in Yupik, and I don't know, I'm just comfortable. And I feel more connected to my culture as well, too, because I didn't do this a lot, and this is a really great opportunity to start.
As somebody who also attended school outside of home, Oscar can relate to students' sense of homesickness. A key way that Oscar coped with that was through engaging in cultural arts, which also helped him move through mental health struggles like depression and anxiety he faced as a teenager.
That's one of the things that I want the students to know, is that cultural arts is one of the forms that can help one. Being connected with cultural arts is an important factor because it's helped us through hardships. It keeps our mind away from negative thoughts.
Since the project first launched, Johnson Yellowhawk has been deeply touched by the community support so far, both in Sitka and beyond, from donating to their Amazon wish list to dropping off traditional foods like herring eggs. The Student Arts Project team is currently reaching out to Inupiaq artists to bring their own unique wisdom and skill sets to the community, but they are open to working with artists from all Alaskan regions who wish to help however they can. However, Yellowhawk hopes that the future of the program is fully determined by student feedback, which they have continued to gather through surveys and in-person conversations. In Sitka, I'm Brian Cotter.
This is KYUK News. I'm Samantha Watson. Koyana for listening. Please share your news tips, comments, or suggestions. You can email us at news@kyuk.org or message us on Facebook. And stay tuned for Yuktun Gnomchit coming up.